So I think it's safer to use this microphone. So my talk is entitled Diffusion of Innovations. It's the title is very brief and the talk is very brief, so I will let you go pretty soon. I am presenting this work, which is actually really the brainchild of Erjan Ilditz, who was my former student and then a postdoc at MIT and now starting a new job, and two co-authors, Daron Acemoglu and Asu Ozladar at MIT. So the social agents in my case, or the biological agents, are humans, though a lot of the behavior that I am trying to model in this talk could be applied actually to swarms of biological agents. In fact, the model of interaction is fairly simple. And what I'm discussing is a credible mechanism to fit what we observe when innovations are introduced in society and how they spread. So even beneficial innovations do not spread simply on contact. So a lot of the epidemic models that are based on the idea that I get in contact with some agent which has an infectious disease, and automatically through that contact I contract the disease, they wouldn't hold and they wouldn't capture the dynamics that are observed in this model. So typically, actually, innovation moves very slowly. And capturing this diffusion needs a slightly more complicated model. But as you will see, my model is very simple. So the idea is, the motivation is obviously, for engineers, is mostly understanding how they would exploit all the data that we have now on social networks and social interconnections to, you know, diffuse new products, or actually to interpret what would be good ways of spreading ideas or new policies. Okay, so what is the state of the art? As you can imagine, this problem has been studied in sociology and economics, and the first person that produced a model that seemed to credibly represent what was going on in observations was Granovetter. Granovetter in 1978 wrote basically the first paper on this problem and introduced with a model which is called the threshold model for collective behavior. Essentially, he hypothesized that innovation is not adopted simply by observing your neighbors, but by observing a sufficient number of your neighbors. So if you cross that threshold of adoption in your local cluster of friends or neighbors, then you are prompted to adopt the innovation. Otherwise, you will continue to stay with the old invention. And this resilience to adopt new ideas is, in fact, observed in society. The group of nodes that introduces the innovation here is called the seed set. In the original paper, it was a single agent, but it seems more realistic to assume that you have an initial set. And the idea also is that each individual has potentially a different threshold. You don't have to have the same threshold across the network. So the model of interaction is simply if a fraction of agents, which is sufficiently large, adopted the innovation, then you will adopt it. So Granovetter also said that this probably is a better model to capture other effects, how decisions are made or rumors are spread. Even for diseases, actually, the contagion on contact is not necessarily the best model. And riot behavior and other effects, migration, could be modeled like this. So after this seminal paper, there was a little bit of a silent period, but then the interest in this picked up. And in 96, Valente did a number of interesting experimental tests, actually, trying to validate this model that was a purely theoretical model. So the application was the diffusion of prescription drugs they were assigned to certain patients, the diffusion of their adoption by other doctors and other patients. in a health system. And Valente actually sort of corroborated this hypothesis originally made by Granovetter that the threshold behavior does explain what is going on. And it also explains, he hypothesized, other diffusion of innovations which deal with fashion or new technologies, because similar trends were found in those fields. Later on, Kempe in 2003 and 2005 took over another study of this problem and tried to look at, instead of having a deterministic threshold, what would happen if you had a random threshold. So you possibly change your mood, and therefore some days you were less susceptible to your neighbors, and some days you were more susceptible to your neighbor. Or you were simply, you know, a little bit jet-lagged, like I'm a little bit jet-lagged right now, or more sharp. And so you will make decisions depending on having more or less people around you that adopted the innovation. And Kempe also started to do some serious analytical work on this problem, in the sense that Granovetter didn't really examine whether there was convergence or what was the issue of determining the configurations for the optimal seed set that would spread this innovation across society. And this was a problem that Kempe looked into, and he proved, unfortunately, that the problem is NP-hard, which is not very good. however, Watz subsequently took over the problem again and looked at the effect of connectivity. What if the model underlying the connectivity is a random graph, and in particular, Watts is famous for the small world model that is embraced by many as a reasonable model for social networks. So Watts discussed the relevance of diffusion of information with respect to this model, so the relevance of having a good model for the social network connectivity, and how would that affect the diffusion of innovation in practice. So also what's noticed that over this graph connectivity, he always found that he had to have a significant mass of early adopters. If somehow there was stagnation in the process, then you would probably stop. You would not have the entire society adopt it. However, apart from Kempe that proved that optimization of the seed is NP-hard, there are no other significant results in trying to characterize the fixed point. So here this paper has a few interesting results on that. So the network model is a graph. The agents are the vertexes, and the edges capture their connectivity. And for me, this is a static graph, though you could imagine that it would be interesting to extend these results to a stochastic graph. The neighborhood is represented by these, Ni of G. And these are the neighbors that can influence agent I. So each agent, as I said, has a threshold, which I indicate as phi of I, which is a number between 0 and 1. And at time k0, I have a subset of individuals that has adopted this innovation, and this is the seed set. And I denote this by this capital phi0, which is obviously a subset of the vertices. So the group of innovators who have already been exposed to the innovation is represented by this set, and they could be also simply be the promoters. You could have paid these people to do this. So mathematically, the interaction model is simple. If the intersection between the seed set and the initial group that affects the node I is such that the fraction of nodes that is contained in the neighborhood is sufficiently high, then node I will adopt deterministically the innovation. Otherwise, it will restrain itself. So we denote by phi of L the adopters at the lth iteration of this algorithm. So we imagine that every time we recompute what is the fraction of the nodes in the neighborhood that are part of this set of adopters. And the new group is called by phi L. And the overall group of adopters at the lth iteration of this algorithm is simply the union across these sets. And so obviously, agent I will adopt the innovation at step L if this union of adopters intersects its neighbor with a sufficient number of agents. So the question is, will the innovation go viral? And if not, what are the fixed points? And which one of the fixed point will be selected given an initial set? So this is simply the mathematical question. So to answer this mathematical question, we have to define an object, which is called a coherent set. And the coherent set is defined relative to this particular threshold. So we group in a set M a number of agents. Each agent has threshold phi I. And we say that a non-empty subset of the vertices is a coherent set if the intersection between this set and the neighbor of every agent in the set is such that this inequality is met. In practice, what it means is that for each member of the set, the fraction of neighbors that resides in the set is above the agent-specific threshold. And so this coherence measure, this coherent set essentially measure how well connected are this group of nodes. So if this is a coherent set, this is what happens. So the important point is that because of this definition, what happens is that the members of this coherent set cannot adopt an innovation unless, for some reason, somebody inside the set adopts the innovation. So they need somebody inside to convince them. They want otherwise. And this is an example. So you have a network. This is a simple topology. And here I set up the thresholds in a particular way. I say that for node 1 and 2, the threshold is 0.5 minus a small epsilon. And for nodes 3, 4, 5, and 6 is instead 0.5 plus some epsilon. So here you could easily compute the coherent sets that are in this network. Well, easily computes, it will take you still a while because it's a combinatorial problem and there are many coherent sets, but it's not hard to identify them once you try to enumerate possible parts of this set. And for example, it's not difficult to see that 1, 2, 3 forms a coherent set because you see that they all have connectivity smaller than 2. And instead, 4 has a now connectivity 3, so you can actually break it up in other coherent set. So this is just to point out that there are many coherent sets. They're not hard to identify, but there are many of them, and it is a combinatorial problem. And this resonates with the fact that was pointed out that finding the best seed is an NP-hard problem, so it relates with this aspect. However, why is it important to define coherent set? Because then you can define in a clear way what are the fixed points for the diffusion of innovation according to the threshold model. And so given a graph and given these thresholds, the adopter set, so if you have an adopter set phi star, then you can be sure that this adopter set is a fixed point if the complement of this adopter set is actually a coherent set. So that would be a fixed point. Okay? And the proof is very simple. You just apply the definition of coherent set to the complement of this set of adopters, and you figure out that it is below threshold, right? Every element in phi is below threshold, and that is what motivates the definition of coherent set. So this is the main result of this talk. Thank you for being so patient to listen to this. So for a given graph, this is what you can say about these fixed points. If there is no phi star, which is included in Ni, such that the seed includes phi star, and the complement of this study is coherent, then the innovation will diffuse throughout the network. If instead there exists a unique fee star that contains the seed is the initial adopters, and the complement is coherent, then obviously that is the fixed point. And that can also be extended in the case where the seed is actually contained in a particular set fee star, such that, so in other words, there is no unique fee star, there are many fee star, and they are all indexed by this subscript S. So assuming that there are K of them, and the seed is in one of these, then what happens is that the adoption of innovation will be limited to the intersection of all these sets, phi star of S. And this is an example. So even though the search of all the coherent set is rather extensive, it's not too hard once you place the seed to figure out if there is a coherent set that will be a fixed point. So for the example that I provided before, we have this threshold, as we said, which is 0.5 minus epsilon for node 1 and 2, and 0.5 plus epsilon for the remaining nodes. And if the seed node in this case is node 1, the final adopter set remains 1 and 2. So if the revolutionary is node 1, you're out of luck, your revolution will not happen. So you will only convince your next door neighbor, and that will be it. So this is also uniquely defined. So you also know in this case that you won't have other possibilities. So in the discussion, I want to bring up another even more recent paper by Centola or Centola. I don't know how you want to pronounce it. I use my Italian pronunciation. In 2010, he published an article in the Science magazine analyzing with beautiful experiment, a social network experiment, analyzing again a health network of patients and how the new prescription or new health practices were diffusing across the network. The beauty of the experiment is that he somehow convinced these 1,500 agents to communicate with a fixed topology that he had predetermined. And he used two topologies. One is a perfect regular lattice topology, and the other one is a random graph. So he essentially rewired the topology a la small world. And through those experiments, he noticed that somehow the lattice topology, which was more clustered, was seemingly more effective to spread innovation than the small world type of network was, which is somewhat counterintuitive as a result, because we are told that small world network help, in fact, diffusion of ideas and the 6 degree of separation among members of society, or diffusion of information seems to be aided by the random rewiring. Our results suggest that is actually not completely counterintuitive. But clustering in some cases can actually weaken the adoption, because it may create this coherent set. And to a certain extent, this is perhaps an extreme case of that. So it depends on the size of the cluster. That's basically the bottom line. And how the size of the cluster relates to the threshold, which obviously is something that Centola could not really control, because he was using real agents that had their own threshold. So the only thing that he really couldn't control was the threshold. So he couldn't necessarily relate quantitatively how the threshold and the cluster size interacted with each other. So the effect of cluster is actually, we think, not trivial. And so the finding the effective seed is still a complicated problem. But essentially, a good guideline would be to search for positions that will not lead to have large coherent sets as complements. And that concludes my talk. Thank you.
they had some health conditions that they knew before, and they continued to accrue data, and he somehow motivated them to interact with other patients and other doctors and see what they were doing in a specific graph.
So there was no automatic communication?
No.
It's not clear how clusters work. Are they good or bad?
So the answer is that it cannot be so trivial, because Centola could not measure the threshold, and this what defines a coherent set is critically defined by the threshold. So the our sort of analytical results seem to say it's not so trivial. You cannot say whether it's good or bad. It depends on the size of the cluster relative to the threshold size, the threshold value. So depending on how large is the threshold value or how small it is, you may want to have a bigger or smaller cluster size.
Kind of categorizing a certain threshold.
Yeah. But there is no analytical answer, like these lattice would be optimal with this threshold. However, there is this sort of intuition that you cannot disconnect what you observe with the clusters and the threshold values that work for them.
Any more questions?
Another question.
Yeah, I was thinking about what you said about this clustering and Chantal's work. Because if you have viral diffusion of a network with, say, a power law redistribution, and so in the SIS type model where you have infection and healing, I think that you can also show that. If you have very few nodes infected, then this is spread, then reach kind of the thresholds, because these hydrogen nodes get infected, and they infect too many, and then there is not a good balance between healing and spread.
Yeah, although here there are more opportunities to get stuck, because you have to have this threshold behavior, and so that's what really creates this sort of boundary. So. As soon as you get a set which has this complement which is coherent, then you're done. And so that is really related with the thresholds and the topology of the graphs itself. And so if this group, if the remaining set of nodes, the complement of those that are the adopters, has not very good connectivity and the thresholds are high, this is not going to go. Right? And that is always relative to these thresholds. Thresholds are high relative to how connected they are.
Perhaps I missed that point. But here I see that everything depends on the configuration, on the links, on the topology of the network. Mm-hmm. But in fact, if the innovation would be, for instance, very good for the on-cost function or the local, I don't know how to say, but if the innovation should also influence.
So that is actually the very simple model. Here we say, if enough people adopted it, whether it's good or bad, I'm going to adopt it. And I have a specific threshold. So what you, I think you want to hint is that that threshold should be a function of some utility they have or some global or personal. Indeed. However, this idea was, no matter what motivates me to learn from a certain number of agents, this is the simple model that I try to utilize to capture this. Whether that's exactly how agents work, no. But it's a simple enough model to capture the trend. To a certain extent, it was embraced precisely because they had experimental data that seemed to indicate it was good enough. So maybe you didn't have to model the